I'm not very rock and roll. You know, like I was just like sitting on the back of a tour bus with, you know, my sewing kit, trying to sort of mend my trousers from the night before.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 240 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and I want to get this out the way.
Oh, here we go.
Thanks to the neon handshake, not only have I developed night vision, but I climb mountains.
I knew you were going to fucking climb mountains. I knew it. I fucking knew it.
You were lucky.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Oh, go on. It is not more, is it?
No, I was saying you were lucky because I did have a whole monologue ready that would have put you over the edge, literally.
Yeah, well, don't you know what I've been through this morning, so please don't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, and gender progressives, this week's guest is the fantastic Justin of Hell is for Heroes. I would try and say his surname, but I think that will be offensive to both him and everybody else listening.
Oh, but he's a doctor as well, apparently. So technically, one of our first doctors. Have we had a doctor on before?
Have we had a doctor on before?
He's got a PhD, so that means he is a doctor.
Well, Bob have as well. We had Bob on. Bob's
fucking
a doctor.
Hell. Well, we're getting all the doctors on here now.
Dr. Bob, fuck knows what he does, though. I was saying this the other day. I was in Raiders rehearsal the other day, and I was like, Bob, people ask me what you do for a job, and I just say I don't know because I haven't got a clue. And he was like, yeah, it's pretty hard to explain. So he didn't even bother explaining it to me. So that was interesting. But yes, this is at least our second doctor ever.
Hey, we're getting smarter. But no, Hell is for Heroes. Talk about an influential band. The effect have had on you, your friends, and that whole alternative UK scene in the early 2000s is unprecedented. They've always featured on the likes of NME, Kerrang, and MTV, gaining a reputation for crazy live shows and an episode we've always had requests to do. It feels like they've been in a weird on and off, active, not active, will they, won't they situation for the last decade, playing a couple of shows, going away and being completely silent, but just recently releasing pieces of new music for the first time in 15 years. Wow. Justin doesn't do too many of these kind of interviews these days, but was kind enough to let us steal him away on their tour with 100 Reasons at the O2 Institute in Birmingham a few months back to talk about everything, clear some things up, and relive some insane memories. And there's a lot that you are very fond of and a special place in your heart, Sean.
Yes, as you said, Justin doesn't do many interviews, and this will probably be his first and last appearance on Sapnin Podcast after chatting to us. Justin and the boys, Hell is for Heroes, played a big part on influencing me, and Hell is for Heroes were one of the first ever big gigs that me and my friend Scott ever put on. and it was in RM's nightclub in Merthyr Tydfil, and it was absolutely sold out. And to see people that we had looked up to for like probably 3 or 4 years of that time in our hometown playing shows, climbing the fucking rafters, mental, was so inspirational and detrimental to our shitty little town that I will always be grateful for Ellis Fido's for turning up, even though the PA system we got in apparently wasn't enough.
Oh.
I feel bad. I felt real bad. Well. Yeah. It was, what a fucking show. Absolutely unbelievable. Literally influenced so many people of Merthyr to go on and or carry on with music and play better and wilder. What a fucking band. I love Ellis Fido's. They got some fucking absolute classic songs. Go and check them out. If you're listening to this and you've somehow never heard Ellis Fido's,
what?
Change that. Make your life better today.
Do it. But what a lovely full circle moment. And one of the funniest things is that we've recorded this in like the smallest closet.
Bro, it was a cupboard. It was a fucking cupboard. There was nothing. It was so small. They didn't even keep anything in the cupboard. There That's the nothing. Thing.
No windows. It was just the most
compact.
Like compact. Yeah. Room, but what a lovely conversation.
You know, thinking back on it now, right, how fucking close we all were to each other while talking.
We were sweating. Like, we were all sweating after 5 minutes.
We may as well have just used one microphone. I don't know why we had a mic each, because we were that close. But thank you very much to Justin again, and the Hell is for Heroes boys, and the 100 Reasons boys who we saw backstage, including my friend Andy, who's the bassist for 100 Reasons. He's a fucking top chap. And of course, Colin the Liar Duran.
The liar. Everyone. The
massive,
liar.
Massive liar.
But Justin, outside of Hell is for Heroes, is really respected as a lecturer, author, and analysing media, journalism, and ethics around the misinformation and injustices. So that's something we're going to get into as well. And we're just going to talk about everything from the band life to the drug that is frontman Ego, ridiculous stage circumstances, overcoming a brain hemorrhage, and smoking something with a certain celebrity you never would have thought their paths would cross. It's all going on.
And I remember as we walked into the venue, we walked in with Justin and his lovely family, and they had the best shoes on I've ever seen for a combined family. So I know that's it's a weird thing to notice, but I did tell him as well. So yes, thanks again to Justin. Thanks again to Ellis for Heroes. Thanks to Birmingham Institute for letting us in. Let us mill about for a bit and then ultimately get the warmest cupboard in Birmingham.
Warmest cupboard in Birmingham. Confirmed. But speaking about milling about, you, me, Ellis for Heroes, and a bunch of other bands are going to be milling about in a field.
No,
next week.
When? What? Next week?
Next week. Because it's 2000 Trees Festival returning to Up Cot Farm in Cheltenham, July 6th to the 8th.
You're fucking lying.
I'm not. We're going. We're even on the lineup, Sean, because you and me are doing a live stage show podcast on the Word Stage on Saturday.
Oh, God, no.
10 o'clock in the morning. So get up nice and early.
No, you fucking ain't.
You're all going to be hungover because it's the last day of the festival and get to watch us talk some absolute bollocks. And
when's
then,
that? Saturday? Saturday.
Saturday morning. And then...
Do you know what I'm going to do? Friday night, I'm going to go to that stage that we're playing at 10 o'clock in the morning, sit in the chair that we're about to do the thing at 10 o'clock in the morning, and just fall asleep there because, yeah, I've got to get there for 10 a.m. That's mad. Anyway, carry on, Mark. Yeah.
Well, then we've got to stay up all day because we're DJing the silent disco.
Oh, yes! I can't wait! I'm going to be fucking knackered! Cocaine! We're going to need some cocaine! Oh, no.
Oh, no,
carry
no,
on.
No.
Sorry, I said
that's
the,
not
I said
the
right.
That's not the rider for this one. That's not the rider for this one. But look, Hell is for Heroes are there. They're one of the main attractions of the band playing on the Friday. You've got some classic bands alongside them with 100 Reasons, Rival School, headliners, Softplay, Bullet for My Valentine, Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes. There's Holden absence, Loathe, Witch Fever, No Devotion, Preston Miko's last ever show, and just so many amazing bands. Some tickets are still available as we record this, and you can get £40 off them by heading over to 2000trees.co.uk/tickets and using the promo code SAPNIN. That's £40 off all your tickets.
Yes, I'm glad they got rid of Festival out of the URL because it makes it much, much easier. 2000trees.co.uk. Yeah!
And also, they sent me a message this week.
All right.
Saying, Morgan, I can confirm.
You're fired! Oh, go on.
Oh, what?
Oh, they, no, it's nothing. They must have sent me a different email.
Oh, yeah. They were saying that they can confirm the ice cream trucks are back.
Oh, I don't care.
I do.
Oh, we know you fucking do. Jesus Christ. Oh, don't start this shit. Do you know what? I'm surprised. We're only 1 week away. I'm surprised that you haven't been going on about this for fucking months, to be honest.
I know.
And I'm glad. So, yes, 2000 Trees Festival, one of our favourite festivals that we get to attend every year. It's going to be a fucking blast, no doubt. Cannot wait. What a fucking lineup. I don't think anybody's expecting Bullet from the Valentine to headline at 2000 Trees. They're going to burn them fucking trees down.
If you need people to go with, head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/sapnin. Wonderful community of people there, all getting together for gigs and festivals. So get involved and help support this podcast. But without any further ado, let's get in to the cupboard once again for this conversation with Justin about everything Hell Is For Heroes and more. Episode 240 of Sapnin Podcast.
I'm having flashbacks by that fucking cupboard. Like, it's too warm. Waft the door, Morg. Waft the door. Sapnin! Temperature of the sun.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Sapnin. Yes!
Yay!
This week, we are joined by the absolutely mighty Justin from the legendary Hell Is For Heroes. How are you?
A bit overwhelmed by that introduction, but I'm like, all right.
It's all true.
Yeah, how are you doing, man? We're doing this back... Well, I want to say backstage, but we're currently...
Kind of more understage.
Yeah, in a broom closet, kind of?
I would say it's very cupboardy. It's giving off a very cupboardy vibe.
Literally in the cupboard. We haven't done one in the cupboard yet.
This is the smallest one we've ever done.
I feel humbled.
Yeah, this is awesome. But
how are you doing? How's the tour being? How are you just doing at the moment?
Surprisingly... I mean, I always say surprisingly good. We kind of get in the habit of being wheeled out onto the road every like 5 years. And it's always like, yeah, a surprise to see people who are still really, A, remember us, and B, seem to quite like us. So,
but there's thousands of them. That's the thing. Yeah. Awesome.
And the weirdest thing is that they just seem to sort of, if anything, grow in number. It's like, it's kind of the opposite of what we were always told. We were always told like, oh, you know, being a band is hard work and you've got to like, actually, less is more.
I found out that myself now, like, so as we were talking about beforehand, my old band, we split up 8 years ago, end of this month, and we've just announced we're coming back for Download now, and the reaction is bigger than ever.
Somehow. That's it, man.
It's fucking, it's almost like, take it away from them for a little bit, and they will long for it.
Make them remember.
Like drug addiction.
Yeah, exactly. Make them remember what they missed.
Yeah. Mm.
But how was that whole process being for you? I mean, with music in itself, being away from it for a while, then you come back, you do some shows. Does it make the heart fonder of when you get to do it and makes it feel more special? I mean, how do you see all this?
I mean, I think these things can always go any way. Like it could have been a disaster. I mean, in fact, I fully expected it to be. You know, I think for a long time before we booked this tour, as with any tour, probably we were kind of dreading it. It's like you just got to have good luck in connecting or reconnecting, I should say, with the songs. You know, some of which, you know, really kind of nearly as old as us now. I mean, yeah, like 20 plus years. Well, not as old as us, but it takes, I don't know what it takes, but I suppose it's quite gratifying that, you know, those songs, that we are able to reconnect with them in a way that's not kind of contrived. Yeah. Like if it felt like we were just doing this for the sake of a kind of nostalgia tour and, you know, trying to sort of, I don't know, be the kind of band that we were 20 years ago, then I think it would just, I don't think any of us would have done it. So you try and kind of reconnect with the songs in a different way, in a genuine way, in a way that's like, speaks to kind of who we are now and, you know, all the shit that's happened to us and to the world and to everything else, and just give it some meaning that way. And then you hope that like people will get that. Yeah. And so far it's really felt like they have, and that's been incredibly rewarding.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, yeah. How's it been being out with 100 Reasons again? How are those guys?
I mean, it's just like, it's just like kind of, it's so familiar to us. I mean, I think we've spent probably more time on the road with 100 Reasons, even more time than we spent with Biffy Clyro, which was far too long.
Yeah, wouldn't mind spending time with them now, mind? Yeah,
festivals, all that kind of malarkey.
Exactly. But yeah, so, no, I mean, they're just like good friends with ours. Larry, the guitarist, actually produced our new record, which is another thing that's really exciting about this tour. You know, we just got a couple of new songs, but it feels like they're kind of going down well. And they're, you know, again, it doesn't feel contrived. It's like we, you know, it's different to what we used to do, but it's at the same time, you know, something that I think people can relate to.
Hmm. How is that process for you? Because these new songs are the first new material the band have done in 15 years. And, you know, going back to that mindset of actually writing lyrics and the songs, I mean, is that being different, or do you just feel like you've picked off where you left off, really, in terms of that mindset?
Yeah, no, surprisingly similar in that respect. You know, we've never been the most prolific band, I think it's fair to say. Not because, I'd like to say that's because we have a high degree of quality control, but it's probably more because we're just lazy. You know, maybe also we just don't like kind of forcing stuff. So we try and kind of wait for the songs that come to us, which sounds incredibly naff, but in a way it's true. You just kind of, things just sort of click and you have a bit of luck and you get some studio time, and that's sort of how it came together, really. And it's just fun, man. It was just like, it's a really good feeling just making music. I forgot about that. Yeah, as I say, it was luck that those songs came together, but I think it's kind of set us on a train that means, you know, it can happen again. And it's definitely reawakened something in us, and is also feels like something kind of new at the same time.
Nice. That's so good to hear. Yeah, because the amount of people we've had on bands who have been, you know, been in bands for 20 plus years who just seem jaded and now blasé with it is incredible, really, when you see how many there are compared to other people who are still excited. So it's fantastic to hear that you've got that energy again. Is it going to be a full-length 12-track record, or are you looking to do EPs, or what's the plan?
I have no idea, man. I mean, I think, as I say, we have no management in every sense of the word. In, you know, we're not kind of directing this. I think it could lead to an album. It could just be that we drip feed songs as and when they come to us. I think we're just gonna ride it wherever it takes us.
Nice. That must be really freeing in a lot of ways, though, especially when you look back at how you used to do things and how kind of extreme and had to be planned out and forced, maybe a lot of ways, like scheduling wise, to kind of think, oh, if we are going to do new music again, the fact that you can just literally do what you want,
exactly,
that must make you all a bit more excited, not feel like, oh, you know, there's pressure to this, or we have to meet deadlines or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It just keeps it completely natural. I mean, I remember like when we were on like a big label, and the whole kind of creative process was in a way just completely undermined by exactly that, you know, that kind of sort of, oh, right, now you've got to go into a room and write an album. And we're just like sort of sitting there and like, well, that doesn't really work for us. Yeah, so it is freeing, and it is, I mean, it can be too freeing, because, you know, we just end up like not doing anything. But I think if we can kind of keep the foot on the pedal a little bit and just remind ourselves that, you know, fundamentally, this is just about kind of people getting together and doing something that is fun in a way that's slightly different to just going to get drunk with your mates. I mean, we do that as well, but it's kind of more of an add-on than the main gig, as it were.
Yeah, especially when you can add more people and crowds to it, all makes it all a little bit more fun. Nice,
how are you finding self-managing? What's the difference between that and having a manager, do you find?
I mean, I think we've always kind of self-managed, really, even when we had a manager, in the sense that we have always, I think, right from the beginning, had a fairly clear idea of what our limitations are in terms of like being able to slot into, you know, different kind of categories of, or like, you know, I don't know, genre labels, or like, we've always had a sense that we're quite a misfitting band in a lot of ways. You know, we don't have many tattoos. at the same time, we're not good looking enough to be a pop band. So we're always a little bit awkward and difficult in that way. But I think whereas in the beginning, that was something that we saw as, you know, maybe some people around us saw as a kind of hindrance. I think now we see it more as a kind of badge of honor, really. You know, and it's nice doing music without, you know, it's not something that we kind of depend on for our livelihoods. Yeah, yeah. It's not something that other people depend on for their livelihoods. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's like, I think a lot of people underestimate that. For a lot of professional bands, you know, that it is certainly for us anyway, it was always a kind of weight, you know, like, oh shit, these people actually are kind of feeding themselves literally off what we're doing. And if, you know, if we fuck it up, you know, that has serious consequences. So it feels like, and at the same time, we're kind of really fortunate to have, you know, a small but kind of loyal audience and have a platform. So it means that I think we have an opportunity to do this in a way that is, not to sound too naff, but is like kind of pure. Pure fun, yeah. Really.
It's the people you're reaching are people who care. It's not just, oh, I just like that because of whatever. They literally, they've been with you on that journey and they're invested so much now that when you are doing stuff, they actually want to be part of it.
I think I'd rather have 100 people who solidly care than 1,000 people who are just like, yeah, I like them.
Yeah, that's it.
And then don't care, like.
Yeah.
Because if you can keep those 100 people happy and interested and, you know, you put out products that they want to buy, you could probably sustain more off those 100 people than you would off 1,000 people who kind of don't give a shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think we've always been fairly comfortable playing to a whole range of venue sizes. I think you're exactly right. What matters is, can you like have that transcendental experience really of playing this music in a room? And it is, these songs are kind of, I guess, on the darker side, you know, in terms of the sound and the words and all the rest of it. But, you know, when you get in a room and you get people together, it becomes like a real celebration.
Yeah, almost like they can be dark, somber songs, but then when other people are singing them, it's almost like a healing and a coming together of people, and it makes it more beautiful, I think.
I think so. It's like, it's definitely some kind of release, you know, like I'm really become more conscious of that now than probably I ever was. And it's like nothing else. There isn't like another feeling that you can get anything else.
And I've tried plenty of drugs to try and find that as well. And I still haven't found it.
Yeah.
Yeah, being the front man, being on stage and just absorbing that and doing that, yeah, it's better than any drug I think you could come across, to be honest. Why when my band ended, I was fucking lost for about 2 or 3 years, didn't know what to do. The longing to want to be on stage, I don't care if I'm playing to one person or 1,000 people, it doesn't bother me. I just want to play and perform. And those moments on stages is such a release for me. I long for it, and I did long for it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And what I think, one of the things that I think I'm also starting to get my head around is, you know, that there are sort of good and bad highs, you know, from being in a band. And I guess this is kind of show business generally, but there is that sort of seductive power of, you know, it's like kind of ego fueling, you know, that sometimes you get when you're on stage, and you definitely get when you get to like talk about yourself on interviews like this. And, like, and it's kind of like a trap, because it does feel nice. And you kind of, you know, it's like a drug, because the more you get it, the more you want it. But I think that's the really kind of destructive aspect of this whole thing. And then there's the kind of the other high, which you were kind of talking about, you know, which is much more just about the connection and the communication between you and the band and the audience and everything else, and that really kind of nothing else matters in that moment. And that's the one that kind of feels quite sort of nourishing, whereas the other one has like the opposite effect. So I think, like, you know, teasing that out and understanding the differences between those is a really, really tricky thing. And I think it's so easy to kind of, you know, I fell into it, and I'm sure most bands did, you know, you just fall into that trap of like, it's just basically ego fuel. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I think I found it with, there was a young band from my hometown called Pretty Vicious who started to do quite well. They're all like 16, 17 at the time. And I tried to have a meeting with them to talk to them, and it never really worked out. And then they got signed to that giant label that Taylor Swift was on, Big Machine, something like that. Anyway, so I had to explain to them. I was like, look, every label in the world is going to tell you you're going to be the biggest band in the world. Now, they're going to blow this smoke up your ass. They're going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. And they were like, oh, no, you know, it's not going to be like that. And then next minute, they've had to split up because the singer's gone mad on drugs and ego or whatever. And it's like, you only put out an album and now you're finished already. And it's sad to see that happen. And it's, but yeah, that's it. It's like, you have so many people behind the scenes telling you, you are the greatest thing that's ever existed. And then when it doesn't work out like that, it can be so shattering for people who believed it, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you just lost in the sea of bands who have come before you, I guess.
What was it like for you transitioning out of music when the band originally broke up? Because, I mean, you've gone on to have like quite a successful career in journalism and all that, but did it feel weird stepping away for music for quite a few years in between?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I'm not a journalist. You know, I basically spend my time criticizing journalists. Well,
yeah. Even, yeah. You wanker! Yes,
even like better.
Not journalists
even
like yourself. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm more in. Unfortunately, in the kind of very toxic world of, I guess, you know, the kind of intersect between news and politics. Mm. I mean, I don't really know how I got in here into this mess. I mean, I think, you know, when I was in a band, like, I mean, I've always been interested in like issues to do with like media and cultural power.
Yeah.
So like when I was in the band, in the old days, you know, I remember, you know, the whole kind of, I was around the time when the whole Napster thing was blowing up, and, you know, I got quite active on, you know, the whole thing about piracy. I mean, I kind of took the opposite view to like Metallica. I was just like, fucking, you know, burn and share this. And yeah, you know, it's like, I didn't really have a kind of framework for my activism. I was more just like,
this feels
being obnoxious for the sake of it.
That's me online.
Yeah.
That's me to every Tory that posts online. I'm going to get you, you fucker.
I mean, and then I guess, you know, one of the things that sort of hit me, you know, I mean, after we'd kind of slogged it for about 10 years and I got brain hemorrhage on stage and I was just like, maybe this is not kind of what we want to be doing for the rest of our lives. You know, then I had the problem of, well, I've literally got nothing on my CV other than being in a very shouty rock band that hardly anyone's
heard. Mine looks like I went missing. Mine goes like Argos, one Christmas, Castle Bingo for 2 years,
exactly.
Missing for 13, turned up as the manager of a barbershop. Where have you been? You don't want to know.
It's not a great stepping stone to most other career paths. But so I went back to school. I mean, I got a loan and did my master's, and then I ended up fumbling on to do my PhD and kind of blagged the job as a sort of pretend academic. I say pretend because I don't really read near enough for an academic. But yeah, that's, and then as I say, because of the direction of my kind of research and writing, I got somehow pulled into the ever more kind of toxic world of politics. And you know, that's kind of like, I've done that, but I'm like getting a bit tired of always just fighting people, which is kind of why doing this is actually quite cathartic in a lot of ways. Yeah. Sort of the opposite, really.
Well, yeah. How do you feel about the way politics is at the moment and the way the world is currently going?
Well, my main interest is in truth telling, really, in terms of journalism and how truth gets suppressed and distorted and manipulated by powerful interests, and how that has been so massively complicated by things like social media. But yeah, fundamentally, I'm interested in that kind of very old-fashioned idea of journalism as the business of speaking truth to power, and how that gets, well, just like nowadays, you know, you'll know more about this than I do probably, but like, it seems to me that if you are a journalist or if you're a politician and you're starting out in your career, the very things that, you know, I guess were once really treasured, the values that were treasured about these professions, which is really about integrity and honesty and truth-telling. Those are the things that destroy your career at the click of a finger. Yeah. I mean, it's like, they're like disastrous. If you want to climb the ladder of any national newspaper or, you know, any major political party and you start like having integrity, it's a death wish.
Yeah, but that's mad. Yeah, it's only like the last, well, probably about 2014, 2015, just before the Brexit vote and all that stuff, is where I saw that, yeah, politicians weren't the people with backbones and integrity, like you say, anymore. And now they're just free to lie and tuck in, say whatever they want, and they can just get away with it. And then
that's it, man. I mean, the truth is, you know, I think everyone in politics maybe lies. You know, some people lie, but everyone kind of bends the truth to some degree, you know, to suit their own particular political agenda. But I guess that's where kind of journalists come in, because journalists are supposed to like cut through that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, there's a big difference between, you know, people on the kind of margins of politics, you know, whether that's left or the right, frankly, bending the truth or manipulating, and then getting, frankly, misinformation on like the BBC or the national newspapers, like in terms of the credibility and the reach of media. Like that's the stuff that I'm really interested in, and I find really kind of problematic. Because even if, like, yeah, maybe the BBC gets it right more of the time than, I don't know, some kind of fringe lefty or right online news outlet. Yeah. But when the BBC does get it wrong, that's like serious.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
In terms of impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. With that side of your career, has there ever been people who have been like, hang on, are you Justin from...
Like students.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens occasionally.
But, yeah. Yeah, sorry to go back to it, but was the brain aneurysm that you had the cause of the end of the band?
Not the sole cause. I mean, I think there was sort of a number of factors. We never really ended the band. It was just like we got to a point where we felt like we've kind of done all, you know, done enough. Yeah. I mean, the shows were getting more and more intense. So I think it did feel like we needed like a proper break. And then, you know, and then families and marriages and kids and all the rest of it. And then 20 years.
Fair enough.
Slip by.
What's your kind of mentality on the band today in terms of, because obviously you had the hiatus in 2008, you came back and did some shows in 2012, then another break in 2018. Now, is it the same of just like, at the moment it's working out and we're having fun, so we're going to do it and you're not going to put a label on it? Or are you kind of thinking more long-term goals for stuff? I mean, how do you kind of see everything?
Well, I think there is definitely a, like, this tour is like a departure in the sense that all the shows that we've done, like we did a round with 100 Reasons in 2012, and then, like, kind of said we get wheeled out like like pensioners every 5 years, but those have been like kind of nostalgia tours. I mean, amazing, because an incredibly gratifying to, you know, to discover that you know, the music that we were doing, you know, in our kind of early 20s still had legs, you know, and in both in terms of not just the audience, but our ability to connect with the song. So that was like amazing. But that, I think there was a recognition after the last tour, which is our biggest ever headline tour. And, you know, we sold out two nights at Shepherd's Bush Empire, and we were just like, this, you know, we can't go any further with just, you know, flogging the old records. Like, if we're going to do anything again, there has to be some kind of new creative output. And so we wrote a couple of songs for this tour, and I think there is a real feeling that actually, yeah, well, we could, as long as we keep writing, we can justify doing more shows. And even if, I mean, I'd quite like to go back to doing some smaller shows, you know, I mean, these are great, but they are, you know, by our standards, pretty big. So I wouldn't mind like maybe doing some smaller, more intimate shows and yeah, just kind of just sort of doing it completely naturally. Just seeing if people are willing to listen to what we have to say.
I'm sure they are. And speaking of small, intimate shows, me and my friend Scott once put Hell is for Heroes on in a terrible, terrible place called RM's Nightclub in Merthyr Tydfil.
Nice.
I remember. Yeah, we put that on. We played there once.
Yeah. No, I put that gig on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, me and my friend Scott put that gig on. And, you jumped over. We'd never seen it before. There was above the drums, there was a little lip. And you climbed down and jumped over on the drums. And I just remember, what a fucking... That was the first ever show, sold-out show in RM's, I believe.
Wow.
And it was fucking class. And then about... I want to say 3 weeks later, Biffy played it to about 21 people.
Really?
Yeah. Very strange. Very, very strange.
That is a weird one.
But yeah. Put you on. It was fucking brilliant. And it was such... Because our problem at the time in Merthyr Tydfil is not only is it a terrible town, but also nobody was coming there. So the fact that we got fucking Hell is for Heroes, or we were seeing in and on Kerrang and MTV2 and all that stuff, was so inspirational for our town. And the people who were in bands in our town that went on to do surprisingly well.
I remember it really well, and it felt like a special night. Yeah, it was just, I remember that energy was intense.
I was blown away by it. I think, you were the first people to ever sell that place out. And then a couple of months later, I think we've got 4 Foot Fingers on, and then they did quite well as well. And it finally made the town, people were like, oh, you can do gigs in that town. I didn't realize that. So, thank you on behalf of my town, I guess, and everybody else. Who's done music since, who was there, and there's a few of them, so...
Thank you for having us.
I wanted to get into that kind of the early days and being a kind of staple band in those early 2000s British rock scene, because at that time, there's so many inspirational bands who went on to then like kind of catapult the next generation coming through and all that, you know, it just kind of yourselves, In Me, Feeder... Biffy, Female for a Friend.
100 Reasons.
What was that time like? What was the kind of memories? Did it feel kind of special with all those bands doing well and you all kind of being friends and touring with each other? I mean...
Or was it a blur?
A bit of both. As I say, we've always been a bit awkward in terms of, not quite... fitting in, but there's obviously a bunch of bands, as you said, around that time who we shared a stage with, and you know, we had drinks with and just had good times with, and I mean, this is the thing about music, it's like, you know, actually we'll play with anyone, you know, I even like some pop bands. I don't have we're not precious about anything. And, you know, as long as like it's from the heart, that's all that kind of really matters to us, you know. And obviously, like a lot of people that come to our shows also go to their shows, and, you know, so this just kind of makes sense. And, it's all kind of incestuous. As I said, Larry recorded our records, so we're in each other's pockets.
What's the weirdest lineup you've been on, do you think?
I guess we did like a tour with like some big American new metal bands in the early 2000s. Papa Roach.
Nice.
Murder Dolls, which was
together at last. Tell us who you was. Murder Dolls.
It was educational.
I never would have fucking ever thought like Papa Roach. I can see how it happens. Yeah. Murder Dolls. Who's booked that?
Oh my god. It was a lot of fun, but it was, I think, you know, because it was like proper arenas and stuff, but I think it was a reminder, it was the first point where I kind of realized that I'm not very rock and roll. You know, like I was just like sitting on the back of a tour bus with, you know, my sewing kit, trying to sort of mend my trousers from the night before. And these guys were just like
wild.
Yeah, I mean, in the most kind of cliched way, strip bars and drugs and you know, all sorts. And I mean, I dabbled, but
yeah.
I think after a little while, I thought, actually, it's not really my thing. Yeah. I mean, the thing about that is it was just, it's just too many men on those tours.
Yeah,
you know, it's like. Yeah, it kind of it was a bit much.
Yeah, I know what you mean by too many men. Like, yeah, it just becomes like a testosterone fueled like one upsmanship of who can keep going, who can go the hardest.
It's like one endless stag, dude. Yeah.
That's right,
just,
that's the perfect analogy
for a Roman 6 weeks. Yeah, I mean, Jesus.
Are we drinking again? Oh, we gotta be.
Yeah, mad.
On the flip side to that, do you remember? In the early days, like a time where you thought, wow, like these experiences are crazy. Like how have I gotten here? Like was there a moment you met someone that you'd always like idolized or?
I remember being introduced to Ice-T in the Viper Room.
What the fuck?
In LA. and I remember like, he was just like standing on the dance floor. You know, obviously he didn't like, know or give a shit about who I was, but he was like just smoking a joint. I mean, you couldn't even smoke, you can't even smoke cigarettes indoors, in but he was smoking a joint. No one was going to tell him not to.
Nope.
And then he was just like, he just turned around, looked at me, and was like, who is this little runt standing next to me? But then he offered me a go in his joint.
Yeah. You've got to, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, that was my. My one and only claim to any kind of
that is a fucking good one,
rock fame.
Oh, I'd love that. That's what we're doing now, because I'm just going to be thinking about smoking drugs with iced tea.
You've always kind of had a reputation for being quite a lively frontman. Let's say I always like to kind of get into the
lively,
get into the crowd and dive and stuff like that. I mean, where did all that originally come from? Was it just kind of energy and watching other frontmen before you, or
I don't know, man. I think it's like I think it just I'm just a sing and dance man, you know. I mean, I think part of that whole kind of experience of the live rock show is, you know, it does involve for me physical interaction. There's no feeling quite like crowd surfing. I mean, I don't know, you know, it's like a kind of like, you know, you feel weightless and it's just like a complete, you know, that is like a feeling of helplessness. You're just completely giving your trust to a bunch of strangers you've never met before and probably will never meet again. And I don't know why, but that just feels great.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, I just can't get enough of it, really.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Have you ever climbed something and then got up and gone, I wish I'd fucking done this?
Yes. Many times. I remember once hanging off, there was some kind of like pipe running across the roof of a stage. And I remember, like, I somehow got myself on there and was kind of hanging upside down, but, like, my grip on it was rapidly loosening. Ooh. It was all kind of, like, sweat and I was just like, I can't hold this. And I was just going to basically fall straight down head first onto the amp. And somehow I lost my grip, and so my body fell down head first backwards somehow. And I guess this is just like pure instinct, but my feet locked in, so I was ended up hanging like a bat.
Yeah,
my feet. I mean, got away with it. I mean, as I say, I did end up getting a brain hemorrhage on stage. So, you know, I kind of rode my luck as far as I could take it, really. But
how much of that do you put down to band life, the brain hemorrhage?
It's not like, it wasn't like sex, drugs. It was only rock and roll. I mean, it was only like, it's just the shows were just getting very, very intense. Okay. I think at the time we were kind of really into like getting people up on stage and so like people would kind of, there was always kind of stage invasions and we used to like love that. And I think someone like just collided heads and just, yeah.
Wow.
And it all went a bit spinny.
Wow. Yeah, I bet.
As we start to wind down on this conversation, because we know you've got to get ready for one of those rock and roll shows, coming in to the venue, obviously you've just arrived with your family, and I was just kind of wanted
can
to
I just say fantastic shoe collection on everybody in the family.
Well, I will absolutely pass on that feedback. It will be much appreciated.
The kids and your partner, fantastic shoe collection. Sorry.
I was just gonna ask, how was it for you getting to bring them to shows? Now, is it kind of, that must be like a nice kind of...
Yeah, it's a real treat. I'm going to try and drag him on stage as well.
Nice. Try crowd surfing!
I just think some of my happiest kind of early childhood memories were at concerts.
Nice.
I won't tell you who because it's far too embarrassing.
We welcome him. We welcome. It was my first concert, Stereophonics.
Well,
And mine was Busted the McFly.
Oh, well, there you go.
Wow. Well, I think mine was Barry Manilow.
Oh, nice. That's good.
You say that, we're trying to get Donny Osmond later in the year on the show.
Talk
to my mother's favourite artist of all time.
It's just nice to kind of try and, you know, like when the kids are this age, it's all about creating memories, isn't it?
And they're going to see you up there as, have they seen you play before?
My older one has Download in 2018. He was there. I dragged him on stage then as well.
Nice. I've got an 8-year-old nephew who's going to come and see the Blackout and stuff. And
awesome.
I can't wait for that. Like he fucking loves me anyway. So wait till he sees me controlling goths in a tent in Download. Like I can't wait.
It's nice when you can kind of combine different parts of your life with these things, I'm sure.
Feels good, man.
Nice. Well, with all that, what else is really next? I mean, what can we expect going forward? I mean, you've said that you've been recording and stuff. Some is there more songs in the can? Do you guys have plans to tour after this, or again, is it just want to see how it goes?
I think we might do one or two festivals and some kind of low key shows next year. And just keep writing. That's it, man. Nice. I think we've definitely it feels like we've awakened something. And we'll just follow wherever it leads.
Awesome. Do you know what? That's so fucking good to hear that you've awoken it and you seem excited by it. That's awesome. Genuinely one of my favorite bands to watch growing up and just thank you for the music. Thank you for the inspiration.
Oh, not at all, man.
Fucking loved it. So thank you very much. And thank you for giving us the time today because we appreciate it.
So welcome. Thank you for having me.
Sorry for being stuck in a small room with us for so long.
Nice and cozy.
Yeah, cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah! Woo! Yes! That was Justin Scholesberg of the mighty Hellas Heroes. Did I pronounce that right? I hope I did.
I think you did. I'm going to give you it, but people can let us know.
Yeah. People of the Scholesberg family, let me know if I said that right. I probably didn't. And apologies if I've offended all of your family tree. I didn't mean to. Feel free to pronounce Smith, whatever you want. I don't care. Thank you very much, Justin, and his wonderful family.
Yes, we appreciate it so much. I'm so glad we could get this conversation. As I said, people have requested this for such a long time. It's just never been able to materialize. But finally, in the same place at the same time, it's funny because we did this when you were on tour with Punk Rock Factory. You played Birmingham the same day they were playing Birmingham. So we cross divide. We were like a Marvel film with the universes cross. I don't know. I haven't seen many Marvel films lately.
I don't know where you're going with this, but we crossed swords
and went.
Whoa! It was a fucking small cupboard, but it wasn't. We nearly did. Let's be honest, right? If one of us had got slightly aroused, right, in our cupboard, the other two would have felt it.
Oh.
Literally poking against our legs. Anyway, he doesn't do many interviews and he probably won't come back on because he's now spoken to us in a tiny cupboard.
Yeah, that's going to haunt him forever. But they are playing the Friday at 2000 Trees Festival.
Oof.
And they've released a few bits of new music. There's two new singles they've put out between now and the end of last year. But just recently, a bonus B-sides EP taking tracks back from Transmit Direct. So you can go and check that out on all major platforms now. Some absolutely great songs, and hopefully we'll hear a lot more about them with new music tours and stuff in the future. I can't wait for this set. I think we're all going to have a dance, we're going to have a boogie, and 2000 Trees is just going to be a really, really good time. We're looking forward to seeing a lot of friends. It's basically a friends fest. There's so many people we've had on this podcast who are going to be playing there. There's people we don't get to see enough of the other parts of the year. And if you have any ideas about who you'd like us to go and talk to while we're at the festival, let us know at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Tell us, tag them, and we can make some magic happen.
Do that. Do what he just said. You know that voice you just heard? Listen to that.
That's me. My voice.
Only for that bit, though. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to anything else.
Because also we're doing the a live podcast, and then we're doing the silent disco on the Saturday night as well, closing out the festival.
I'm definitely going to have to have a nap, buddy.
Should we just go back to the hotel for a bit?
Also, right? This time, fucking bring an hat, right? And wear some fucking sun cream, you mad, mad fucker.
I will.
Because if I have
promise
to put up with you spewing on Saturday morning before we go on, and it's not because of nerves, I'm going to be very, very, very upset.
Okay, I'll do my best. I'll do my best. And I'll bring all the songs you would never play at a DJ set that I definitely want to play at a DJ set.
Good luck with that. Have you... we'll have to talk about it. Yeah, let's talk about this after. Let's talk about this after.
£40 off your tickets at 2000trees.co.uk/tickets. Use the promo code SAPMIN. Again, if you want some friends, if you're thinking, these boys are a good laugh, I'd like some even more conversation.
Nobody's thinking that. I'd like to hang out with people who like these guys. Check out patreon.com/SAPMIN.
Do it. Everyone in there is amazing. They've been traveling with each other for different festivals and gigs the last couple of weeks. Just random adventures, meeting up at the most random places and having a really wonderful time. It's so wholesome. It's so beautiful. Get involved with it and check out all our other bonus content on our Patreon page. If you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we thank. But as always, Sean's going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community.
Yes, this is thank you very much, and I love you to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Janelle Caston, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charlton, Tony Michael, Kelly Ewan, Dilly Grimwood, Natasha Morris, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Kat Besson, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Stephen Aston, Caroline Robinson, Kate Puttack, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Carl Pendlebury, Danny Eaton, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Jason Heredia, Emily Perry, John and Emma, M. Evans Roberts, Craig Harris, Evan, Sean Foynes, Kalila Keane, Ollie Amesbury, Adam King of the Goss Parslow, Josh, Rick Astley made me promise not to turn him into a meme. I said, I'm never going to gif you up, Crisp. It's lucky that I pronounce gif correctly, because if I was an idiot, I would have said, I'm never going to gif you up. And that doesn't work in the joke, does it? So it's lucky I know what GIF stands for. Graphic, innit? Graphic it stands for. G stands for graphic, so it's G. Anyway, thank you very much. I'd love you to Alice Wood, Cal David Smith, and last but no means least, Connor Lewins and family.
Woo! We love every single person there. Thank you for continuing to make this happen each and every week. Honest to God, it wouldn't be a thing without you. If you enjoyed us, please get involved. Go and follow us at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe wherever you're listening to these podcasts. Share it in the Instagram stories. All these little things help us more than we can imagine. And we'll be back next Friday and every week with a very special guest. Some laughs and some chaos in between.
Yes, thank you very much for your support. If you've listened to this and any others, thank you very, very much. It means the absolute world to us. We never thought we'd get to do 240 plus episodes of this fucking nonsense. So the fact that you've stuck with us, or you've just, if it's your first time listening, sorry, apologies for that. But check out some of the other episodes. There's some wicked guests where we have a good old laugh with everybody. Doesn't mean one where it's been miserable, I don't think, have it?
Not really. None that comes to mind. Even if we've talked about miserable things, we laugh about it as well.
Yes, we go on to do that. So yes, check out the other episodes. Thank you very much. From behalf of myself and Morgan, Clive Richards. Sapnin! Clive and Direct.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.